Do you ever take on a chapter and when, after you study it, you kind of look at it and you're going, well, it really isn't our problem. We don't really have this issue where meats are offered to idols and we're having a problem, you know, as far as stumbling one another. But sometimes it's good to notice what's not there. I'm going to read through just the first chapter 8. I have a feeling we're going to venture into 9, but I want to read this chapter, and then I'm going to just ask the Lord that our hearts will be prepared for whatever He has for us. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but charity edifieth. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. And as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many or lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Howbeit, or but there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, or if we eat not are we the worse. And take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see that which is has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat the things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died? But when you sin so against your brother and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Wherefore, if the meat make thy brother to offend, I would eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I should that I make my brother to offend. What a heart. What a heart. The Apostle Paul. Let's stand before the Lord once again and ask God to just knit our heart with His tonight. Father, singing our soul longs for You. It does. And now our soul longs for Your Word. Lord, there's so many people that perish because there's a lack of the Word of God. And we have been so blessed over the years to have this love for it. And it keeps growing. And we realize, Lord, that there needs to be balance. There needs to be the teaching of the Word. There's got to be times where there's the exhortation of the Word. There's a time for silence, and then there's a time of praise. And Lord, we don't want anything to be done in the flesh. So we, Lord, acknowledge our weakness, and we say, Holy Spirit, come. And just do something fresh in our midst. Speak to our hearts, Lord. And if there's anyone here this evening where their heart for some reason has been hardened today, you speak those gentle words and take that heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that they're thinking they've sinned and they shouldn't even be here tonight, Lord, you would take that thought. You'd bury that thought in the sea, Father, because there's no mistakes. I believe every one of us here tonight has been brought here and has been planned before the foundations of the world to study this chapter together as a family, as a body of believers. And so we rebuke all the condemnation the enemy tries to lay on us. And we just lay our hearts before you and we pray, Lord, you would melt us today in the presence of your Holy Spirit. That you, Lord, just for a time as this, keep the doors from banging. No cell phones going off. No kids running in the middle of the service. Give us ears to hear what your Holy Spirit has to say to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Ever been offended? Ever been knocked down? You know, did you ever go to someone thinking you were going to get godly advice and when it was done, you just had felt like, oh my goodness, that was a steamroller that just went over me. Has that happened to any of you guys? Raise your hand if it has. Yeah, it's happened to me more than one occasion. Even as a pastor, you know, instead of just going to the Holy Spirit and going to the Lord, something might be going kind of crazy at the church or something, and then I go think I need some advice, and when I get that advice, you know, I'd rather clean my ear with a carrot scraper than listen to that again. There's a gift of exhortation. There really is, and you really need to find those kind of people if you want to be exhorted and lifted up. Paul loved young Christians. Paul was just a man. He had his authority as the apostle, but he was one, you can hear it in his teaching, you know, like you don't want to stumble a younger brother. You don't want to stumble a younger sister. You want to try to avoid that as much as possible. And we're not going to study tonight all the ways in which we can build one another up. Maybe that's sort of like a teaching, a series on that gift of exhortation. You know, guys, it's in our human nature. It really is. Well, at least it's mine. I love demolition. How many men love to demo things? Raise your hand. There is just something about that loud crash, you know, and down it comes. I worked for a company called Dismantlement Consultants. And all that is just a name for fancy, a bunch of guys that worked and could act like kids 8 hours of the day. You know, you're just tearing things apart. But in the body of Christ, we're not to be demolition experts. The Bible talks about us building one another up in the most holy faith. And by the way, Christian, maybe 1, 2, 3 years of age and your walk with the Lord, this is your reason why you stay in the Scriptures. It isn't just for knowledge, because knowledge puffs up. There's a reason why the Lord tells us to study, to show ourselves approved, the worker that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing it. Why? It's because the body of Christ is a family, and the person sitting next to you is your brother or your sister, and there might come a time where you need to help them, not destroy them. The Bible tells us to give an answer, a gentle answer, not harsh. The servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome. And so Paul brings this, well, let me back up a little bit. The Corinthians must have penned out a question for the Apostle Paul and says, hey, Paul, what gives? What about this meat that's been offered to idols, man? We're starting to see some people down there at the local meat market, and we know, man, they are chowing down on some of that idol meat. What saith thee? And so we're going to look at that tonight, but we don't have this problem. I don't think we go down to Sam's and ask the guy behind the glass window, was this offered to an idol? You see, let me give you a little bit more backdrop before we go. In that area of Corinth, because of all the idolatry, you name it, it was there in Corinth. Even to be called a Corinthian was a derogatory term. That person's a Corinthian. He's an idol worshiper, immoral. And so to raise money for the local idol temple, after they were done sacrificing their sheep and ox and all, they would then, you know, butcher it up into, you know, small sizes and put it out on the market. And it was cheaper than the other meat market because that meat wasn't offered to idols, but this meat was. And so a lot of people were going to the idol meat market to buy their meat. And well, when God began to move in Corinth and people began to get saved, that was a question. Well, should I eat this meat that was offered to an idol? Now, the ones with all the knowledge about all these different idols and what you should eat and what shouldn't you eat, and they were just so puffed up with pride and arrogance, and they were looking to young Christians, wait a minute, where'd that burger come from? Where'd that burger come from? I bought it down at the local idol market. Well, that meat was offered to idols. You can't eat that. You'll condemn yourself. And then Paul also said, well, you also, you have to be careful. If you do have the freedom and you know there's no condemnation in that, and you're eating that, what about that weak Christian that's seeing you eat that meat? You're going to cause that one to stumble. And so, you know, the whole thing is about stumbling a brother or stumbling a sister, or so that's what's going on here. But the first verse or so sets the stage. And it's amazing. Jerry and I were talking about this today, and often my wife and I talk about it. It just seems like the Lord will, even in our devotions, or somebody will send us an email, or somebody will recommend a book, and it all fits in like, Lord, you're just too cool with this stuff, you know? About love, loving God. Do we really love Him? Because the bottom line is, if you love Him, Christian, please listen to me. If you love God, there will be such a strong conviction not to cause His children to stumble. If it doesn't bother you that you don't care if somebody stumbles over your liberties, and then the question Paul would say is, do you really love God then? He says, now touching these things that are offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. We understand this. And in the Greek, it's a certain knowledge puffs up. But love is what, charity is what edifies. And if a man thinks that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known. I love that verse. The same is known of him. Please, let me give it to you in a different translation. God knows whether you love him or not. You can't fool him. But what Paul is saying, if you want to gauge, if you want a sort of like a love meter type of thing, what do you feel about that Christian beside you right now? Or that Christian you sat next to Sunday? Or maybe a Christian that you know is struggling a little in sin. And are we looking down at them, or are we praying for them? You see, because the guy or the gal who was so madly in love with Jesus, He's not going to be a fault finder. Now, will God bring someone to us to aid them, to help them get out of some kind of a situation? It might be ungodly, immoral. Absolutely. But I'll tell you, God will send someone to another person he knows will love them and not judge them. If Paul will say, there is now, therefore, now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who are we to condemn? You with me, church, tonight? Give me a fat amen. Well, that wasn't too fat, but I'll take it. There's something about the gift of exhortation, even today, that just blows my mind. It might sound silly, but I love to be exhorted. I love when somebody will say, oh, you can do it, man. Go for it. Years ago, when Joe had asked me to teach up at Calvary Philly for the first time, three services, you know, I don't know how many thousands of people. I mean, we were still in one room, I think, over in Deptford. And Joe said, will you teach? Well, of course I said yes. And then after I hung up, I'm going, why did I say yes? Why did I say, you know? True story. I went there that Sunday. I was so nervous. I thought I saw Joe in the crowd and he was just sneaking in there to see how I was doing. I was so nervous. I thought I did such a bad job after the first service that I went up to one of the assistant pastors and I said, I quit. And he said, you can't quit. Well, I quit. I said, I can't do this. And the guy that was leading worship that day, he didn't hear this conversation with the assistant pastor, but he comes walking around the corner and he goes, bro, what a great word of exhortation, man. You should have gave an altar call. People would have gotten saved. And I almost said, yeah, for me. But he had that exhortation that, yeah, you could do it. And I said, man, I am so nervous. He goes, oh, if you're nervous, just look over at me once in a while. You'll see me praying for you. Just one exhortation after another, after another. And I think that's how we're to be. You can do it. God's behind you. God can give you the strength. But if any man love God, the same is known of God. And again, not to keep beating this thing up, guys. The way you love people, This might sound a little odd, but the way you love people is the way you love God. And I kind of get that now raising kids. The way people used to love my kids, I knew they had the same kind of love for Irma and I. Do we love the body of Christ? Are we willing to be exhorters? Are we willing to even sacrifice something so we don't stumble another brother or another sister? Some of you might have that liberty to go into a place and eat a fine dinner and walk out, but somebody else might not have that liberty. And to try to get them, to coerce them, to try to make them and then shun them because they don't have that freedom is wrong. And it could make them stumble. I know a lot of you guys are probably thinking, what are you talking about, Harry? Like wine and beer and stuff like that? Guys, all Paul is dealing with right now, if it makes a brother stumble, is it better to do without or to sacrifice your brother? That's all the Bible's talking about. If it's an argument in your mind and in your heart, then you really need to take it to the cross. Now, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Now, we know that. For though there be that are called gods, whether they're in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many or lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Now he gives this "howbeit, my old king," but he goes, "but," condition, you know. He goes, "but there is not every man that has that kind of knowledge." Guys, there is no other God but God. There's one God. And the rest are just their imagination or demonic. And Paul says, we know that. So it would be no problem for us to sit down and eat that double whopper with the extra cheese and pickles. You know, the Lord really convicted my heart on this one time. We had rented a Seventh-day Adventist school once, and of course they have a dietary law, and they have a very strong conviction about meat. And trying to get set up for one of our services, I thought no one was in the building. So on my way to the church, I stopped by my local Burger King. Got my number 2 minus the onion with extra pickle. And lo and behold, who walked into the gym? So I'm trying to hide it. Did you ever try to hide a double whopper? He goes, "What's that smell? What is that smell?" And, "Oh, Tim, I'm sorry, buddy. I didn't have a chance to eat yet, and I picked up a sandwich." I went to great talk, good talk about it, you know. And I asked him to forgive me. I said, "I shouldn't have brought it in. I'm really sure, you know." He goes, "Well, you know why?" And he starts giving me this Old Testament law. And I said, "Well, can I ask you a question?" I said, "Did you ever read when Jesus said it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the heart?" And he goes, "No, I'm not familiar with that passage." Interesting. Led him to a couple other passages, and they just never took the time to study those. But just because they never studied it didn't give me the liberty to make him stumble. Make sense, guys? He says this in verse 8. He says, "But meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worst." But here's that 9, verse 9. "But take heed." It means to be watchful, attentive. "Lest by any means this liberty of yours," you hear that? "This liberty of yours." He doesn't say this liberty of your church or this liberty of your belief, this so-called liberty of yours, "becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee eat, which has the knowledge, and sit at meat, in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idol?" In other words, okay, if it's okay with him, if he can do it, I can do it. Why not? If he can go in there and I can do that. And when he's in there, it starts to destroy him. It starts to eat away at him. Now, guys, I know I've shared this example year after year, probably months, but a lot of us in this church knew a guy who got radically saved and came out of prison and was on fire for Jesus, met up with his wife again, they got married again, remarried, and family was brought together. Guy was on fire, working a full-time job, just doing a great thing, the fellowship over the top. And then someone just thought he would take him to a bar where they were playing blues, because this guy loved the blues, you know. And it was brought to my attention, and of course I said to this brother of mine, "Are you sure?" I said, Yeah, God took you out of that world, man. I don't know if you need to go back in there. Come on, we have liberty. Everything is lawful. Yeah, but not everything's going to be helpful. And then I addressed the guy who took them, and they just said, it's legalism, you know. And I'm not trying to dramatize or just trying to make this story bigger than what it is, but it is a true story. It was a short time after that that he just started socially drinking again. And the very last conversation I had with him a year or two later was, Harry, my old man died an alcoholic. I'll die an alcoholic. And that's exactly what happened. He died, his mother told me, with a vodka bottle in his hand. And this is a great example of somebody thinking they had the liberty to take another brother in a place, and he thought, I can do it. I'm emboldened. I can handle the pressure. No, you can't. My counsel to anyone, if you were weak in any area of your life, then you stay way away from it. Amen? But again, let's not, we're not dealing with meats that are offered to idols. What we're dealing with, and the question is that you and I would have the wisdom and we would be spiritually discerned and that we would be on top of our game to make sure that we're not causing any brother or any sister to stumble, but that they'll grow in their faith. They're growing. And by the way, Christian, if I can have your attention for a second, if you're instrumental in someone growing in their faith, I was reading a book today by D.L. Moody. He goes, you show me somebody that's instrumental in someone's life where they're growing, he'll said, I'll show you that person's in the Word daily. Because you just can't give them a pat on the back and, hey, don't do that, or here, hey, feel good. That person is in the Word, and when those questions, concerns arise, you got a word for them. And the Bible says this, man, to flee fornication. Oh yeah, but we're only just kind of, no, the Bible says to flee it. The Bible says a wine's a mocker, brother. Are you sure you want to go and hang out there anymore? You know. We have to be on our game. You know what that means? We have to be on our game. Got to be on our game. But I'll tell you, to be a player, you have to know the Word. That's why we encourage Bible study. We encourage the daily audio Bible. We encourage you gals to get together, men get together, study Scripture, because the generation under us is going to need the Word. I love this. Let me pick it back up here. If any man sees thee which has knowledge sit in the meat at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is being weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother, notice what it says, the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. The word perish literally means ruined. It doesn't mean perish like someone would go to hell. It ruined their relationship with the Lord. And we want to be exhorters. We want to watch people grow in their faith. Amen, guys? Not cause them to come to ruins. And this is the only time, these next two verses, where the word sin is mentioned. He didn't say eating meat that offered to idols is sin. But this is what he says is sin. But when you sin so against your brother. You know, in other words, it's the same word, hubagari, it means sin, where you've missed the mark. This isn't God's plan for him. It isn't God's plan for him. You've sinned. You've led him astray. And you wound their weak conscience. You sinned against Christ. You missed the mark, even with Christ. I don't want to miss the mark. How about you guys? If you don't want to miss the mark, raise your hand and say amen. give me a bigger one than that because that was pretty weak. How many people do we have around us? How about our kids, dads? We give off a bad image of Christ. Moms, you know, we've blown it. We're trying to sell our kids a bit of goods about Christianity. We're not even acting like a Christian at all. We'll give excuses. I'm tired. I've had a hard day. You know what? I know we might cut this a little early, but I think we're going to come and we're going to pray together. Look what it says in verse 13. Wherefore, if meat makes your brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. As long as I'm alive, I am not going to eat anything that's going to cause my brother or sister to be offended. Now, why is this conviction so strong with Paul? Do you remember that on the road to Damascus? Do you remember that? Where Paul is on his way to Tarshish, and he found out that there were some Christians there, and man, he was so bent on getting these Christians and imprisoning them and even maybe causing some of them to be put to death. And then that light from heaven shines down, knocks him down to the ground. And he says, Saul, Saul, why dost thou persecute me? How many of you guys remember that? And remember the whole story? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Did Paul ever persecute Jesus? Who did he persecute? The church. The Christian. That's why he said, you also sinned against Christ. Every one of you in this room today, you belong to Jesus. You've been bought with a price. And every time somebody tries to cause a little one to stumble, what did Jesus say? It would be better if you took a millstone, cast it around their neck, and thrown it into the depths of the sea. That's how serious Jesus is about causing a younger Christian to stumble. Now, I don't know about you. I need help. Oh, gosh, I need help. Because sometimes just the littlest things can set me off. How about you guys? Any you guys like that? Anybody got the road rage going on yet? Richie, if you can make your way up here. Listen, guys. What's the best thing to do if you ever cause a younger brother or a younger sister to stumble? Do you know what the best thing to do is? You ask for forgiveness. I worked in this car dealership not too far from here. And I was a service manager. I had just gotten the position, so I was all nervous about it. And one of my mechanics, man, he rode me and rode me and rode me. Oh, you know, the Jesus freak or the pastor, Christian pastor. And he just kept on my case. And then one day there was a locker open. Now, listen, I'm not proud of this. There was a locker open, and I grabbed a hold of him by the seat of his britches. And I tossed him in this locker and slammed the door. And you know what I heard behind the closed doors? So that's what a Christian is. And so I prayed about it. I didn't let him out for a while, but I prayed about it. And I remember taking him out back. I said, come with me. And I took him out back. He started taking off his shirt. And I go, no. Leave your shirt on. So I'm like, I didn't bring you out here to fight you. I brought you out here to ask if you'll forgive me. And I just asked him to forgive me. And he went, what? And I just started telling him how my life should be different. And that Christ would have never done that to him. I would have loved to say I led the guy to the Lord, but I didn't. But the best thing to ever do is to ask for forgiveness if you've caused anyone to stumble. Remember Paul? Peter had that argument. Peter's hanging out with the Gentiles, eating double whoppers, fish and chips, all nine yards. But as soon as he saw the Jews come in to fellowship, he hightailed at the other end and acted like he didn't associate it with. So Paul got in his face for doing that, didn't he? Why? Because Peter could have been a stumbling block. Guys, tonight I want us to come up front. I wanted you to stand up and just start walking toward the front. Would you please? We're going to sing a couple songs together and pray together. And guys, when you're coming forward, don't start talking. We're here in this world for a reason, guys. We're here in this world, man, because we're to lead people to Christ and to build each other up. Just a little simple, you can do this. You know, I don't know if I can pray like, oh no, here, take my hand and I'll teach you how to pray. Let's pray together. I've seen people do that. I'm afraid to say anything. And yet, no. Hey, come over here. I'll show you how to talk to people. My brother was a great exhorter, Dennis. I was on this junior Olympic weightlifting team. There was only two lifts. It was called the clean and jerk and the snatch. I never was in any kind of competition doing anything. And in my weight class at 162 and a quarter, if you can imagine that, I had 245 on the bar and I was to do a clean and jerk. Well, I started to make my clean and I headed for the judge's table. People were running all over the place. And I, in my head, and my brother could just read it, oh, he's done. And I can't do this. Why am I even doing it? I isn't it? You know, and we had just became Christians. And my brother came over because you have three attempts. And he said, bro, what's the matter? I can't lift this. This is crazy. He goes, now listen, bro. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I went, it says that? He goes, it sure does. It's right in the Bible. Guys, when's the last time you went to somebody and said, hey, you can do that. Christ can strengthen you. Let's pray together. Let's lift one another up. No more demolition. I'm here to build you up, not tear you down. And if we could just do this, sing this song together, and let's just pray. If you want to pray over something, you want to pray for a friend, if you want to pray for yourself, if you think you've blown it with somebody, ask the Lord to restore that relationship. Let's worship.
Burn away my desire. earth.